Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It is 15 minutes past 11. It's Wednesday and I have our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook, on the line. So it means...
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Sex therapy with Rachel Cook would sound a lot nicer. I don't know why she has to say a dose, you know? It's a bit... it gives me the ick, that word. A dose? Because, you know, in Dublin slang, a dose is not great. Anyway, we are going to talk to Rachel Cook and we have something very important to talk about because I think we all fancy ourselves as a bit of a matchmaker. Rachel, how's it going?
Hi, Jen. Morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. Rachel, can I ask you, we're talking about setting people up, right? How common is it for people to meet through being set up?
Well, it used to be far, far more common, but nowadays, certainly over the last, you know, 10 or so years, more than kind of around 40 to 50 people, 50% of people meet online. I'd say maybe still about 20% of people meet when they're kind of out at pubs and out on nights out and stuff. And then you have, I'd say, around 15% who meet at kind of work or college, another 15% who are, you know, sort of meet through friends and family, but not being specifically set up. So it's probably only around 10 to 15% of people who are set up, intentionally set up these days, which isn't nothing, but it's not huge. And I'm certainly getting far, far more people asking about it, which is great.
Well, that is good because people are getting tired of online dating. But before you try and set someone up, I mean, you need to ask yourself some questions, I suspect. Like, what is my responsibility in terms of how it turns out between people? Like, if your flatmate ends up being an absolute tosser to your coworker, I mean, how do you deal with that? Or how about if you find out that one of the people is cheating on another? I mean, how do you handle that? There's a lot to consider, isn't there?
There's loads to consider. You know, I think definitely considering the potential consequences beforehand, obviously you can't know exactly how it's going to play out, but it's probably a good idea to let the people involved know that once you've sort of set them up that you're going to sort of step out of the situation. You know, you can kind of set and maintain boundaries. Like if one person, let's say they start dating, or even if they only go on one date, if one person starts, you know, complaining about the other, sure, you might be willing to kind of hear that and potentially maybe be a go-between and to some degree in terms of giving constructive feedback to the other. But I would say generally be very cautious about that because you could potentially lose, you know, more than one friendship or sort of work relationship through this. So I definitely don't want to discourage people from doing it because I think the more that we can set people up, the better. But definitely, you know, be aware and ideally have lots of kind of communication with the people involved around how you want to manage that so that it doesn't become
in
a
case
thing
it
where...
goes wrong. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was extremely lucky. I set my friends up. One of my best friends and one of Lau's best friends, we set up. Yeah. We thought they were both single. We thought they'd be perfect together. And we set them up, but we didn't let them know we were setting them up. So we sat them next to each other at our wedding. They got it on that night. They're married now with a child. So we were very, very lucky in how it worked out. We kind of just, you know, pretend we didn't know what was going on, but we intentionally sat them next to each other. But if that had gone wrong, if they had broken, or whatever, I'm sure there's a lot of guilt. So these rules or these tips, you mentioned, you know, maybe say to the person, you know, once I set you up, I'm going to take a back step and you're on your own. Is there any other tips if people are going to go and do this?
Loads. So I would say, you know, you were definitely very lucky there. And obviously, I'm sure those people are very grateful. That's brilliant that it turned out that way. But in general, I would say don't ever set people up without giving them the heads up beforehand and getting their consent, just because they can end up feeling like you've kind of, you know, kind of they potentially just feel a bit like they've lost trust in terms of feeling, sort of it could be humiliated or disrespected or just have gotten a shock around it. And so, you know, I would say generally be very careful about that and check in with people. You don't have to overcomplicate it. You know, you can kind of say, I have a person who I think you'd get on well with, you know, are you up for me introducing you? That can be enough. And then you can decide whether you want to give one of them the other's number again with their consent, or if you want to just arrange to have them meet at an event or some sort of gathering that you're having. So that's definitely one. I would say have a good reason. You know, your friends aren't destined for each other simply because they both happen to be single. It'd be a good idea to think about why they might make a good couple. Obviously, you don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, ideally them having some things in common, maybe being aware of major lifestyle clashes, like if you know that one of them really wants kids and the other either you don't know or they don't, that would be a good one to consider beforehand. You know, basically, it might seem obvious, but if you're excited about the possible of your single pals hitting it off, you might get really carried away and forget to consider how realistic that might be. And so then you can also maybe stick to people, setting up people who you already know reasonably well. Not always possible. And you could, again, be very clear that you don't know someone super well, but you think they might get on. But if you try matching up a good friend with an acquaintance who you really don't know much about, there's just a greater risk that things could go awry and then you end up getting blamed for that. So that's one for sure. And then I would say, yeah, be very wary about being a go-between.
Yeah.
You know, sort of make the match and walk away and be very clear with the people, because they might end up feeling a bit like you're going to be their sort of coach, parent, therapist because you set them up. And, you know, that makes sense that they might have a might have a desire to talk to you about the relationship. And there might be some parts of that that you're willing to engage with, especially if it's going well. But if it's not, you could be implicated in a way that you don't want to sort of abandon your mate because the, you know, the person you set them up with has been,
yeah,
has been, you know, awful to them. But at the same time, it's not your responsibility.
What about photos? Should you show photos before, or what do you think?
I think that's really up to the people involved. You know, some people, okay, you know, maybe the person like would just really like to go on a date and feel a bit special, and it feels kind of thrilling and different to not know anything about someone and just really enjoy the completely blind aspect of it because they just have the sort of bandwidth and desire to meet a new person. For someone else, they might feel like, you know, that physical attraction is very, very important to them, or maybe physical attraction, sexual attraction is very black and white for them. So, you know, it's kind of like they will know to a reasonable degree from a photo. Now, again, I would take that with a pinch of salt, because as we know from dating apps, it's very common that people judge each other purely on a couple of photos. And that says very, very little about someone's sort of, you know, energy and charisma and their body language, tone of voice, and how all of that and their personality can play into how compatible or attractive did you feel to them. So I would say, you know, take that on a case by case basis as to whether you think and whether the people involved would like to have photos involved.
Now, we have a lot of single people that listen to the show.
We do.
So how should they go about asking people to set them up?
I would literally just say, hey, you know, I think this is one of the questions I get most is like, I feel embarrassed, you know, either because what if it ends up going wrong and then the person, you know, sort of has a negative association with me because they think that I've been difficult or sensitive or dramatic or something like that. And it's like, you know, just being able to say, hey, I'm single at the moment, or possibly you're in, you know, a non-monogamous situation, but, you know, you are looking to date other people, but you're basically just saying I'm open to, you know, more romantic or sexual connections. I would really appreciate if you would think about who might be, who you think might be suitable for me, and, you know, check in with them, check in with me, and let's make it happen. Are you up for that? You know, if the person's kind of like, oh, I don't really, you know, I don't really, can't really think of
involved,
anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they say that, you might say, okay, no worries if you don't want to talk about it further. But is that because you're worried about me being disappointed? Or is it, you know, that you actually just feel a bit maybe insecure that you don't have a wider sort of social circle or whatever it might be? And they might then clear it up that there might be something that you can talk about, again, to have sort of enough communication and boundaries around that, that you, that the person feels more comfortable setting you up, or you, you know, you move on to the next person, whether, you know, and ideally knowing, you know, what degree of kind of separation. Like, it would be good to have an, you know, you probably don't want to be asking your boss at work to set you up. Probably not, but you also probably don't.
What about your ex? What if you, is it a good idea to set someone up with your ex if you feel they'd be a good match?
Really depends how you feel about your ex. If you're still into your ex and are kind of hoping that something's still going to happen at some point, then unless you find that sort of kinky, unless that's a turn on to you, which, you know, even then you might want to be sort of careful about it. I would say probably not. You're probably not going to feel great seeing your mate or coworker or, you know, sister or something with your ex. But
yeah,
certainly don't rule it out. If that's someone who you're friends with, who you, you know, like and rate as a person, as a decent human being, and, you know, you want sort of happiness for them, it's understandable that you might feel a little bit of discomfort or envy, even if you don't actually want to be with that person anymore, but that you might still genuinely feel that that's worth it. So again, consider the individual situation and also talk to the person involved. You know, don't, you know, tell them, don't set someone up with someone without telling them, yeah, I used to date this person. At least give them the opportunity to, you know, weigh up for themselves whether, you know, if you only went on a couple of dates with this person or you were married to them, them for 30 years, it might change for them whether they whether they're up for, again, the kind of potential risks of that relationship.
Okay, so it's definitely worth doing, isn't it? I mean, if you're exhausted from online dating, but communication, as you've been saying, is key from everyone. You know, what you're going to get out of it, what your involvement is. But if you've exhausted all options of being set up, what are some professional matchmaking services here in Ireland?
Oh, there's loads now. You know, basically the Irish dating agencies have seen inquiries more than double over the pandemic. You know, they had the closure of colleges, offices, you know, kind of hospitality settings. That, you know, that caused a massive shift in how people meet their partners. Obviously, it meant that everything pretty much went online. But now it means that people are so kind of saturated from that, that people are trying to move away from that with still quite a lot of apprehension about meeting people in real life or just sort of approaching people on the street. You know, I encourage people all the time to put their number on pieces of paper in their bag, in their wallet, so that if you spot someone that you see who you like the look of, that you can just say, hey, if you happen to be single and interested, here's my number.
However, no one has done that, Rachel, except like great, back me up here. Nita, come on. You've done it, Anita? Wow, that is amazing.
You corrected, Jen. I do it all the time.
Deadly. And I'd love to hear from people if they've done it and how has it worked out. Just hand in your number to people that you think are cute.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great thing to do. But back to services. So the ones that are good in Ireland are intro.ie.
Intro.ie.
Twoscompany.ie is another one. We've got lovehq.ie. We've got itsjustlunch.com. And then we've got Two Hearts Dating. That's just some of the ones from a quick search that exist in Ireland at the moment. And from what I've heard, they are, you know, massively growing. So this is a good sign.
Absolutely. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you next week. That is Rachel Cook, our sex and relationship expert. If you have any questions that you would like us to put to her, you can text the show 51552. We do sex and relationship therapy every single Wednesday around this time. It's good, isn't it?
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.